Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Last time, we started really digging into Canada's seed regulatory modernization, the SRM. It's this huge undertaking by the CFIA, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, basically updating the seeds regulations, the goal, make them more agile, transparent, responsive, all crucial stuff for Canada's agri-food sector. Today, we're zeroing in on a really specific piece of this puzzle. The Canadian Seed Growers Association's position, the CSGA. So after all this collaboration, these consultations, the CFIA put out 52 proposals. CSGA has given a big green light to a lot of them, full support. They've also got red lights for a few where they have major concerns. But today, we're focusing on the yellow lights. These are the proposals where CSGA says, okay, we support the direction, but there are conditions. They think refinements are needed to make sure these changes actually deliver benefits, you know, without adding extra costs or complexity or risks.
Exactly. And what's interesting, I think, is that these aren't just no, they're really thoughtful recommendations. It's about how we can actually future-proof Canada's seeds, as they put it. It shows the collaborative side of SRM, even when people see different paths to get there. For you listening, this is where we get into the nitty-gritty, the details, where tweaking a regulation can make a huge difference. You might have some aha moments here.
Okay, sounds good. Let's unpack this then. We'll go through these seven yellow-like proposals one by one. We'll look at the CFIA's idea, CSGA's conditional take, why it matters, and how CSGA thinks it could be better. Segment one, expediting foreign variety recognition. Right, let's kick things off with CFIA proposal 3.1.4. This one's about speeding up variety registration for certain crop types, specifically the ones in part three of schedule third, if they're already recognized somewhere else in another country. Sounds efficient, right? Get good varieties here faster.
Yeah, it does sound appealing on the surface, but CSGA's view is supportive but unsure what is gained. Their point is that part three, which, for folks maybe less familiar, covers crops that already have a pretty streamlined process. Well, it's quite efficient already, so the gain isn't immediately obvious. And here's the real kicker. CSGA stresses that just accepting foreign recognition without the right checks could lead to, well, misalignment. Misalignment with our Canadian testing, our labeling, our enforcement standards. Not all countries operate exactly like we do with the same level of proven equivalency.
Misalignment. Okay. But isn't there an argument for cutting red tape, trusting international partners, getting those varieties to farmers quicker? Is CSGA maybe being a bit too cautious, or is the risk real?
Oh, the risk is definitely real. Think about it this way. Imagine a variety that does great in, say, a very different climate gets fast-tracked. Without checking its Canadian fit, our farmers might plant it only to find out maybe its quality doesn't match what our Canadian buyers need, or it just doesn't perform well in our conditions.
Ah, okay, so it's not just about whether it grows, but whether it fits the whole Canadian value chain.
Exactly. That could mean lost markets, damaged reputation, real practical problems. So CSGA says, look, prioritize places like AOSCA agencies or OECD seed scheme countries. Those systems have much more documented equivalency with ours. It's a safer starting point.
That makes a lot more sense. So what's the CSGA fix? How do we get some speed without compromising quality?
Well, first, limit eligibility to those proven equivalent jurisdictions, AOSCA and OECD members. And crucially, they say you absolutely need, no exceptions, a Canadian representative for the variety, also a variety name check, a Canadian-style description, and very important, a legal reference sample here in Canada for verification.
Okay.
They also suggest adding a short objective market fit screen, not full retesting, but a check on things like stewardship, coexistence, and use quality relevant here. And if that screen flags real issues, the CFIA needs the power to, you know, pause or condition that expedited status. It's about balancing speed with safety.
Segment two, new crop certificates for seed blends. Okay, moving from new varieties to an internal process, proposal 3.1.13. This deals with cracking blended seed lots. The idea is to remove the regulatory requirement for CSGA to issue a new crop certificate when you mix, say, two lots of the same variety, as long as the blend still meets foundation or registered grade. Seems like less paperwork, right?
It does. And CSGA is supportive of reducing redundancy, as they put it. But, and this is a big but, they want to keep a very similar requirement, just move it into their own publication, Circular 6.
Circular 6. Right? That's like the rule book for seed growers, isn't it?
Yeah.
It goes beyond the basic regulations.
Precisely. It's an interesting point about where controls fit best. They feel Circular 6 is the right home for this, not necessarily a federal regulation.
So why is keeping that trail so critical? Even if it's the same variety being blended, what's the risk if that step just disappears completely?
Well, think bigger picture. That requirement in Circular 6, it preserves a really vital audit trail, We're talking maybe 30 to 50 blends like this a year. Without that internal CSGA step, they could end up certifying seed crops down the line without having full visibility of the parent seed lots that went into it.
Traceability.
Exactly. Traceability, super important if there's ever a quality issue, a recall, maybe genetic drift concerns. You need to know precisely what went into that seed lot, especially if it re-enters the certification system later. It's about managing risk and liability.
I get that. Accountability matters. So how does CSGA propose to handle this practically? Keep the oversight, but make it efficient.
Well, they'll just continue requiring it under Circular 6, even if the specific line comes out of the federal regulations. And they're also developing a digital tool. The idea is users could get that blended crop certificate basically in real time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it streamlines the process, makes it faster, more user-friendly, but crucially, without losing that traceability that underpins the system's integrity.
Segment three,
Yep.
incorporating variety registration list by reference. Okay, let's zoom out a bit now from blending details to a more strategic regulatory change. Proposal 3.2.2. This suggests incorporating the list of crop types needing variety registration that's Schedule 3 by reference. The aim is agility, quicker updates without a full regulatory amendment each time. Sounds pretty modern, yeah.
It definitely allows for quicker updates, which is generally seen as a good thing for keeping regulations current, more agile. However, CSGA's position is supportive, provided unintended consequences are clear and mitigated. And this is a big one. They highlight something critical. If a crop type leaves variety registration, meaning it doesn't need that formal sign-off anymore, it also leaves behind the protections that system offers.
Protections, okay, what kind of protections are we talking about? And why does that matter, say, to a farmer or even the broader Canadian ag economy?
Well, it could potentially make some Canadian crop sectors more vulnerable. Think about imports of maybe lower quality, non-pedigreed seed flooding in. And it could put our Canadian breeders, especially the smaller companies, the SMEs, at a disadvantage. These are the folks developing varieties specifically for our conditions.
Right, the innovators.
Exactly. CSGA's core belief here is that decisions like this need to be based on the long-term best interest of Canadian agriculture, not just, short-term profit or perceived efficiency gains. Keeping a pedigreed seed requirement for certain crops, even if they exit formal registration, helps protect transparency, quality, identity. It safeguards innovation here in Canada.
So it sounds like that classic tension,
Yeah.
agility versus protection.
Yeah.
How does CSGA suggest we get the speed without losing those safeguards?
They recommend clear published guidelines and thresholds for how a crop type gets onto or off the variety registration list. That includes things like a defined window for proposing changes, and importantly, a minimum 24-month lead time for significant changes so the sector can actually prepare.
Okay, predictability.
Yes. And crucially, they suggest that if a crop does leave variety registration, the industry, the value chain, should have the option to still require that seeds sold in Canada be pedigreed. Kind of like the models we already use for things like hybrid corn or hemp, where quality assurance is vital.
Okay, so an optional standard.
Right. They also suggest using the proposed Form 300 changes. That's a potential new way to record variety info to help maintain traceability and certification eligibility, even for these deregistered crops. It's about keeping lineage clear.
Statement four, canceling registration for unavailable reference samples. All right,
Okay.
from the big list down to a very specific detail. What happens when a variety's reference sample goes missing? Proposal 3.3.3. It clarifies that CFIA can cancel a variety's registration if that reference sample isn't available anymore. Seems like basic quality control, doesn't it? Where's the yellow light here?
It does seem straightforward, and CSGA agrees. They support the need for process and monitoring these samples, absolutely, but they see outright cancellation as too blunt, just too harsh a tool for the potential problem. Their proposal is different. Suspend the variety's seed certification eligibility instead, but keep the actual registration active.
Suspend eligibility versus cancel registration. Why is full cancellation such a problem? If the sample's gone, isn't the variety effectively unverifiable?
Well, here's where the nuance comes in. There are lots of perfectly legitimate reasons a sample might become unavailable temporarily. Maybe it got used up in routine testing, maybe it was accidentally damaged, or maybe it just needs replacing because it's old. These things happen.
Okay.
If you cancel the registration outright, all sales of that seed become illegal immediately. That's a huge disruption. Think about farmers who've already planted or bought seed relying on that variety. Think about end users, maybe food processors with IP programs built around its specific traits.
Right, the downstream impacts.
Yeah, exactly. Cancellation also shifts the enforcement burden entirely onto the CFIA, who might not have the resources to chase down every instance. CSGA argues there are better ways to phase out a variety if needed, like stopping breeder seed production and letting stocks run down naturally. Cancellation is just too disruptive.
Okay, that paints a clear picture of the potential chaos. So what's the practical difference with CSGA's suggested suspension? How does that help the farmer?
Suspending certification eligibility is key. It means no new certified seed crops of that variety can be produced. But, crucially, farmers can still sell the grain they've already harvested from that variety. End users can still buy and process existing stocks. Marketing and grading aren't suddenly blocked.
So it limits future supply without wrecking the current market.
Precisely. It contains the issue while providing stability. CSGA also recommends clear communication, a plan for fixing the sample issue, a set time frame for action, and options for replenishing the sample. And if the issue gets resolved and the suspension is lifted, certification can just resume, much less disruptive.
Segment 5. Record keeping for common seed mixtures. Let's talk records now. Traceability again. CFIA Proposal 3.3.4. This would require facilities producing common seed mixtures to keep records. CSGA supports the idea, the intent of ensuring quality. But they ask a pretty simple question. Why only common seed mixtures?
Yeah, it raises a really good point about consistency, doesn't it? CSGA's view is that all seed vendors, not just those mixing common seed, should probably keep auditable records. Records that back up the quality claims and labeling requirements for any seed they sell.
Because
the CFIA proposal seems focused on potential issues with common seed quality, maybe consumer protection there. But CSGA points out that often, just using certified seed in those mixtures is the best way to address quality concerns right from the start, because certified seed comes with built-in traceability and quality standards.
So if CSGA thinks this should apply more broadly, maybe to all seed vendors, what's the practical hurdle? Why might the CFIA be hesitant to go that far?
Well, CSGA themselves acknowledge the challenge. Consistently monitoring and enforcing record keeping across every single seed vendor, especially for common seed, where vendors can be numerous and varied, that would be very difficult for the CFIA.
Yeah, how would you even track them all?
Exactly. Identifying all vendors reliably would be tough. So at this stage, CSGA basically says, okay, more discussion is needed here. We need to figure out an approach that actually improves traceability and protects consumers, but without creating an enforcement nightmare for the regulators. It's about finding a workable solution.
Segment 6, pre-import purity assessment. Okay, now for a big one. Protecting our borders, our ecosystems. Proposal 3.3.9. This requires seed imported into Canada to be checked for minimum purity standards before it gets here, though there are some exemptions. Sounds like a solid biosecurity move, definitely. What's the yellow light?
CSGA is supportive, but we can likely go further. They absolutely agree 100% that checking purity before import is crucial. Keep out noxious weeds, unknown stuff. The but is about the how. Their concern is that without really clear rules, common data standards, and efficient digital tools, this could become a real headache for importers. You could see delays at the border, inconsistent decisions, higher costs. The process needs to be both strong and smooth.
Right, we want the protection, but we don't want legitimate trade grinding to a halt. So how do we make this effective and efficient? What's CSGA's detailed vision here?
They have quite a few specific recommendations. First, a single digital window for importers to submit everything and get decisions. No jumping through multiple hoops.
Okay, streamlined.
Second, demand electronic uploads of seed analysis certificates and contaminant data, but only from labs that are accredited. And those labs need audited quality management systems, QMS, and must follow accepted methods like ISTA or AOSA standards, the global benchmarks, and use a standard data format so systems can talk to each other.
Standardization is key.
Absolutely. They also suggest setting service standards. How quickly should importers get an answer? A clear help guide for brokers. Risk-based sampling rules, so not every shipment needs the same level of scrutiny. Enable API integrations so importer systems can connect directly. Phase it in carefully with lots of outreach and training. And finally, provide dashboards so everyone can see the trends, see compliance levels. It's a whole system approach to boost biosecurity and buyer confidence without causing gridlock.
Segment 7, faster access to purity and germination information. All right, our last yellow light proposal for today, 3.3.12. This aims to shorten the time a vendor has to provide purity and germination info if a buyer asks for it. Down from potentially 30 days to just 5 days. That seems like a definite win for farmers needing quick info, doesn't it? How can we go further here?
It's definitely an improvement, yes. And CSGA is supportive, but we can likely go further. They agree 5 days is much better than 30. But they argue that in many cases, same-day access should be possible, especially because most of this data, the purity and germination results, it already exists digitally in the vendor system.
Same-day access.
Yeah.
Why is that speed so critical for a farmer? Is 5 days really too long in most cases?
Well, think about farming decisions. Planting, timing, deciding on seed treatments, even storage plans. These things are incredibly time sensitive.
Yeah, the window can be tight.
Exactly. Waiting even 5 days could impact a crucial decision, especially if weather changes or plans need to adapt quickly. Since most vendors have these results digitally anyway, providing them almost instantly improves transparency, helps avoid disputes later. It just makes sense. And CSGA believes this kind of instant access is probably where things are heading anyway, especially with digital tag technology.
Digital tags. Okay, so what's their vision for making that happen? For getting beyond the 5 days?
They recommend changing the requirement to simply provide the information upon request. If it's digital, that should mean pretty much immediately. And their key suggestion is to fully embrace digital seed tag technology. They've actually been piloting this for a couple of years now.
How does that work?
Basically, the seller can share purity, germination, maybe even other data points directly through a QR code on the seed tag. The buyer scans it, gets linked to a validation page, instant access, instant verification.
Wow. Okay. That puts the info right in their hand.
Right there, when they need it.
So we've walked through these 7 yellow light proposals, places where the CSGA sees the goal of SRM, which suggests some important course corrections or enhancements.
Yeah, and what really stands out, I think, is that these positions aren't about blocking progress. They're not saying stop. They're focused on making sure Canada's seed system stays, you know, world-class, trusted, efficient, good for breeders, good for seed growers, good for farmers, and ultimately good for you, the consumer, relying on that food supply. It really is about finding that balance point, that sweet spot between being agile and modern and maintaining robust protection for the long haul.
It definitely shows how even seemingly small regulatory details can ripple out and affect the whole agri-food chain. Really underscores why this kind of detailed stakeholder feedback is so vital.
It does. And maybe it raises a question for you listening, thinking about the future, maybe a more digital agricultural future. What's the one piece of information about the seed you're planting or even the food derived from it that you'd absolutely want instantly available? And why would that specific piece of data be so important to you?
That's a great thought to leave people with. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the complexities of Canada's seed regulations. We hope you feel a bit more informed and maybe even a little more curious about those tiny seeds that really do feed our nation.